Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Respected Dharma Masters, fellow practitioners, and guests. Before taking the initiation of the Triple Jewels, which are the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, it is important to understand what taking refuge in the Triple Jewels means. Misconceptions have been increasing over the past several decades, and these need to be cleared up to receive the true benefits. What exactly is Buddhism? Is it a religion? Buddhism is not a religion, but rather the most profound and beneficial education based on Buddha Shakyamuni's 49 years of teaching. In 1923, Mr. Jing U Ouyang spoke at the University of Zhongshan in China. The title of his lecture was, "Buddhism is neither a religion nor a philosophy, but the essential of our modern world." This lecture was an insightful breakthrough that shook the contemporary Buddhist world. Since Buddhism is an education, we need to understand exactly what are its objectives, methods, and principles. In the Prajna Sutra, we read that its objective is to understand the truth of the Dharma, in other words, the causes that initiate all the phenomena of life and the universe. Life refers to us. The universe refers to our living environment. Therefore, Buddhism guides us so that we will clearly understand our living environment and ourselves. Today, the formal educational system only partially explains the phenomena of the universe, and much of this remains to be proven, as we are still discussing and investigating this very limited part. We do not yet know enough to draw the right conclusions. Unfortunately, even religions cannot provide comprehensive and satisfactory explanations of life as a whole, and are confined to a limited area of the truth. Therefore, the profound and extensive educational content of Buddhism is essential for every sentient being. The boundary of our living space is not restricted to a city, a region, or even just the planet Earth. There are galaxies in outer space comprised of innumerable planets on which exist life forms that are more intelligent than ours. These galaxies are also our living environment. Additionally, apart from the space dimension, there is also the time dimension. This extends from the past, through the present, and into the future. So the environment in which we live consists of an infinite magnitude of time and space. Modern education does not normally include such an extensive discussion of this infinite living time and space. Even Confucianism involves only a single lifetime, ranging from birth to death, and ultimately to the strong relationship that links us to our ancestors. These teachings cover our existence from the human realm to the heavenly realms, barely touching on heavenly beings or ghosts. But instead, they focus on how to behave as honorable people. In contrast, Buddha Shakyamuni clearly described the four sage realms of Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, Pratyekabuddhas, and Arhats, and the six realms of reincarnation of heavenly beings, Asuras, human beings, the realms of hungry ghosts, animals, and the hell realm. The beings in all of these 10 realms have different degrees of awakening. For example, Buddhas have the most awakened minds, while beings in the hell realms have the most deluded minds. Our existence lies within all 10 of these realms. After we understand the truth of life and the universe, our thoughts, speech, and behavior will naturally change. In the past, our lack of understanding and our delusion led to erroneous viewpoints, speech, and deeds. These created negative karma, our future retribution, resulting from these causes. We learn from the law of cause and effect that unavoidable consequences are created from karma, as good results come from good causes. Bad results come from bad causes. We create our own destinies. No one can step in to bear the consequences of our action on our behalf. As we can see, thoroughly understanding the truth of life and the universe will bring us infinite benefits. Once we understand and deeply believe in the law of cause and effect, we will no longer create any more karma, or at least no more negative karma. Thus, we will not have to bear the consequences or fruits, and we will have transcended the 10 Dharma realms. From the aspect of cause and effect, the four sage realms are the rewards for diligent cultivation and attainment, while the six realms are the consequences of our good or bad thoughts, words, and deeds. The six realms can be further categorized into the three good realms of heavens, asuras, and humans, and the three bad realms of animals, hungry ghosts, and hells. Once we understand karma, the law of cause and effect, and its consequences, we will refrain from creating any more karma, at least from creating any more negative karma. By applying these concepts in everything we do in our daily lives, we will attain what everyone wishes for: happy lives and families, successful careers, harmonious societies, prosperous nations, and a peaceful world. Can we attain achievement? Yes. However, only the Buddha's education completely provides the solution for humanity's search for true happiness. Clearly understanding this, we realize that this education is essential for everyone. Since this education encompasses infinite space and time, it surpasses differences in nationalities, ethnicity, and religions. It is for all the sentient beings in the nine realms below the realm of the Buddhas. In the sutras, for example, in the Flower Adornment Sutra and in the Earth Treasure Sutra, we read of different religious leaders who had learned the teachings during Buddha Shakyamuni's time. The Flower Adornment Sutra, the first sutra given by Buddha Shakyamuni in the state of Samadhi, tells of many religious leaders who came to learn from him. These two sutras tell respectively of a Hindu priest and a daughter of a Hindu priest who, by adhering to the teachings in these sutras, attained the levels of Arhat and of Bodhisattva. From these examples, we can see that the teachings transcend religious beliefs, and that any religious leaders can follow and benefit from them. Buddhism and our modern educational systems are in some ways similar. Becoming an arhat is equivalent to earning a bachelor's degree, and becoming a bodhisattva is equivalent to earning a master's degree. Buddhahood, the highest degree, is equivalent to earning a doctorate. Followers of any religions can attain these levels of achievement, these stages of enlightenment. It is not necessary to abandon one's religion to study the Buddha's education. If we studied abroad, we would not need to change our religion, our nationality, to do so. because the purpose of studying does not conflict with nationality, ethnicity, religion, or anything else. Therefore, Buddhism is an education. Titles such as Arhat, Bodhisattva, Buddha are simply names of degrees. Regardless of our current differences, we will all achieve these degrees as long as we diligently follow the teachings. Thus, the initiation ceremony of the Triple Jewels is the formal enrollment into a school where Buddha Shakyamuni, our original teacher, guides us in the objectives, methods, and principles of attaining enlightenment. Actually, there is only one teacher for all Buddhists. Great awakened beings such as Manjusri Bodhisattva, symbolizing wisdom, Universal Worthy Bodhisattva, symbolizing great vows, and Great Compassion Bodhisattva, symbolizing great compassion, were all the Buddha's earlier students. Today, we too are his students. Bodhisattvas are our schoolmates, seniors who studied before us. We are still freshmen. As they can serve as our teachers, Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and Arhats are not beings to be worshipped, but respected. What is the ultimate goal of this education of Buddhism? The sutras teach us that it is Anattara Samyak Sambodhi, transliterated from Sanskrit. This phrase means the highest, proper, and complete enlightenment and wisdom. Whoever attains it will intuitively know and sense every aspect of the true reality of life and the universe. This attainment is the ultimate goal of all the Buddha's students. This ultimate, perfect wisdom is innate. We read in the Flower Adornment Sutra, every being possesses the same wisdom and virtuous abilities as the Buddhas. This is true equality. Every being refers to not only human beings and heavenly beings, but also all animals, even including animals such as insects, as well as hungry ghosts, and those beings in the hell realms. Why do we not now have this wisdom? Due to our wandering, discriminatory thoughts and attachments, we have temporarily, not permanently, lost our original abilities. the true nature exists. We just cannot recognize it. It is explained in the Awakening of the Faith treatise that enlightenment is innate. Delusion is not. Innate enlightenment is the wisdom, virtue, and abilities of the Buddhas already within our self nature. Wandering thoughts, discriminatory thoughts, attachments are not within our basic nature. They can be discarded. This is how we sever our wandering thoughts and attachments to nurture our unwavering belief and confidence in attaining Buddhahood. If we do not understand the true reality, we will always doubt how ordinary people with such heavy karmic obstacles can become Buddhas. Our afflictions, bad habits, ignorance are so severe. How could we sever them all? Buddhas and bodhisattvas, who are enlightened beings, sincerely and compassionately explain and assure us that the principle is logical. Principle means the virtue of our Buddha nature. We have the innate wisdom, virtues, and abilities of the Buddhas, but just cannot see them. It is similar to clouds covering the sun. Although we cannot see the sun, it still is there. When we remove wandering thoughts and attachments from our minds and cultivate virtues, we will be able to restore our Buddha nature. This is just like dispersing those clouds to let the sun shine through. Achieving this is attained by cultivation of virtue, and only through cultivation can we uncover our innate abilities. Although we possess the Buddha nature, without cultivation, we are still ordinary people within the six realms of reincarnation. Thus, practice is vitally important. How do we cultivate? How do we practice? Formally taking refuge in the Triple Jewels is the initial step, as it symbolizes asking monks and nuns to pass on the ways of cultivation. Taking refuge means to find a shelter that we can return to and rely upon, and is often spoken of as to return to the other shore. In practice, from where do we return from, and what do we rely upon? The Triple Jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. In the first step, we return to and rely upon the Buddha. Buddha is a Sanskrit word meaning awareness and understanding. When we take refuge in the Buddha, we are returning from our deluded state of mind and relying upon an awakened understanding mind. Today, we are unwavering in our determination to understand the teachings and to undertake the initiation ceremony of the Triple Jewels. Have we awakened? If we have not, then we will not be able to turn back or to learn Buddhism. Outside this building, here in Singapore, there are many people walking around on the streets. Why can they not accept Buddhism and take the three refuges? They are not yet awakened. Participating in the initiation ceremony and accepting the teachings are the initial steps of awakening to the importance of this education. In the Platform Sutra, the sixth patriarch of Zen, Master Huineng, used a different approach in explaining the Triple Jewels. He was afraid that if he used the words awakening, Dharma, Buddha, and Sangha, people would misunderstand. So instead, Master Huineng used the words awakening, proper understanding, and purity. This way, people will not misunderstand and think of a Buddha statue for the Buddha jewel, a sutra for the Dharma jewel, or a Buddhist monk or nun for the Sangha jewel. Because these are not what we return to. We need to take refuge in our self-nature, Buddha. We read in the Awakening of the Faith Sutra, the self-nature awareness is innate. We need to return and rely upon our innate awakening, to return from delusions to awakening is to rely on our innate enlightenment. This is to take refuge in the Buddha. We are not to take refuge by relying upon Him. We are to return from our delusion and rely upon our innate self-nature, our Buddha nature. It is essential to understand the importance of returning to our self-nature enlightenment. But we must remember not to rely on images, for as is said, a clay statue crossing a river cannot even protect itself. How can it help us to cross safely? In the second step, we take refuge in the Dharma, returning from incorrect views by relying upon proper views and understanding. Dharma is the proper understanding and viewpoint of life and the universe. The Dharma jewel is the infinite, innate wisdom of our self nature that is also called prajna wisdom. Relying upon this wisdom to correct our erroneous thoughts, speech, and behavior is the meaning of taking refuge in the Dharma jewel. Among the three jewels, the Dharma is the primary one that we should return and rely upon in this day and age. In other words, prajna wisdom will be our primary concern. However, our innate wisdom cannot be quickly restored. Then what should we follow in the meantime? Before our prajna wisdom has been fully restored, we follow the sutras and use them as our guidelines. Sutras are recorded teachings of Buddha Shakyamuni that describe the true reality of life and the universe. If our thinking coincides with the sutras, then our understanding is correct, is in accordance with what the enlightened beings understand. For example, we should respect and care for our parents and teachers, be compassionate, and not kill any living beings, and practice the 10 virtuous conducts. If our perception is different from the Buddha's, we must have gone off track, because everything in the sutras is true. People may wonder, in this modern age, why we should be following what was taught 3,000 years ago. We may boast of our technological advancements, but we still need to use mechanical instruments to record sound and images. Enlightened beings do not need to use such instruments. They know everything in the past, present, and future throughout the entire universe. Without a video camera, they can manifest all of the Buddha lands for us. What ability enables them to do so without the aid of any machines? It is the ultimate, perfect understanding, the virtue of our self-nature, able to generate everything. It can make everything possible. All of our machines come from our wandering thoughts. When we compare our abilities to those of enlightened beings, ours are unbelievably far behind. Thus, we need to affirm and accept that the Buddha's teachings are correct, are true. We would do well to sever our discriminatory thoughts and cultivate by following what the Buddha taught. However, we must beware of fraudulent sutras. It is easy for us to encounter books that are reputed to be sutras, especially in a modern world that promotes freedom of speech and publication, where essentially anyone can publish books. In ancient times, when the sutras were initially brought into China, each one had to undergo a strict examination by experts. This was followed by the emperor's seal of approval to prove its authenticity. Even the sutra commentaries of ancient patriarchs underwent the scrutiny of highly accomplished monks and scholars of the time. Before receiving the emperor's approval for distribution. Today, no one regulates or enforces this process. So if we want to read or consult the sutra, we should read those that are authentic. In the third step, we take refuge in the Sangha jewel. Used here, Sangha does not mean monks or nuns. There are two representations: purity of mind, harmony in life. First, Sangha refers to living in a way that safeguards our minds from temptations while maintaining the purity of our six senses of sight, sound, smell, taste, touch, and thought. Today, people suffer much from pollution of the mind, spirit, and body, much more than people used to. Even the Earth's ecological system is off balance. There are holes in the ozone layer that are pollution of the skies. Almost everything from the sky to the Earth and their inhabitants is contaminated. Most people today are aware of environmental pollution. Many governments are also promoting programs to help provide protection for the environment. However, the effectiveness of these programs is questionable. The problem comes back to what the Buddha revealed. The environment that is the dependent variable changes with our minds that are the independent variable. If the impurities in our minds cannot be eradicated, our environment will never reach a state of purity. Therefore, if we want to improve the external environment, we first start internally by purifying our mind. So first, taking refuge in the Sangha means returning from pollution and relying upon purity of mind. Second, the Sangha represents harmony in living. Having observed the sufferings resulting from the disharmony between people, countries, and even religions, the Buddha taught us the six principles of harmony. Sangha means purity, harmony, and respect. When we take refuge in the Sangha, we are returning from pollution and disharmony and relying upon purity of mind and the six principles of harmony. Thus, the guidelines for our cultivation are taking refuge in the Buddha, awakening without delusion, taking refuge in the Dharma, proper understanding without deviation, taking refuge in the Sangha, purity without pollution. These are the prime disciplines and unchangeable guidelines in our practice from the beginning of cultivation to the attainment of Buddhahood. From now on, if people ask us, what are we cultivating? We can explain that we are cultivating the three refuges of awakening, proper understanding, and purity. What are we learning? We are learning to achieve ultimate, perfect wisdom. When we have perfected our cultivation of the Triple Jewels, we will attain perfect, complete enlightenment and become Buddhas. How do we attain this perfect, ultimate wisdom? By practicing awakening, understanding, and purity. What are the methods we use for our cultivation? There are infinite methods to choose from depending on the abilities and condition of each practitioner. Methods are flexible, not fixed. However, we must remember that our learning objective always remains the same. Awakening, proper understanding, and purity. As Pure Land practitioners, our main cultivation is to chant Ami Tofa, as was advocated by Great Strength Bodhisattva in the Surangama Sutra, and by Universal Worthy Bodhisattva in the Flower Adornment Sutra. Also, there are many supporting methods. As Pure Land practitioners, we follow the five guidelines to help us in our daily cultivation. First, we use Confucius' five virtues of gentility, kindness, respectfulness, thriftiness, and humility as the foundation for our cultivation, and continue with the three conditions from the Visualization Sutra. The first condition is to be filial to parents, to respect teachers and elders, to be compassionate and not kill any living beings, and to practice the 10 virtuous conducts. The second condition is to take the 3 refuges, abide by the precepts, laws, and customs, and conduct oneself in a proper and dignified manner. The third condition is to generate the Bodhi mind of compassion and understanding, to deeply believe in the law of cause and effect, to recite and uphold the Mahayana Sutras, and to encourage others on the path to enlightenment. The Buddha told us that these 3 conditions are the causes that brought all the Buddhas of the past, present, and future, and the 10 directions to enlightenment. Therefore, if we want to become Buddhas, we cannot neglect this important step in our practice. Progressing upward from the 3 conditions, we advance to the second level that are the 6 principles of harmony that are based on the 3 conditions. If we cannot achieve in the 3 conditions, then we cannot successfully practice the 6 principles of harmony. The first principle is to share similar viewpoints and goals. There will be no conflicts in this world, and world peace will be attained if we all share similar thoughts. The education of the Buddha is based on this principle of creating common understanding for all sentient beings. This common understanding is so remarkable because it is based on our self nature, not on Buddha Shakyamuni's opinion. He taught us how to cultivate and explore our own innate wisdom, virtues, and abilities. We are not imitating him. Rather, we are rediscovering our inborn natural potential. The second principle is to observe the same precepts. Practicing the precepts includes cultivating an attitude of abiding by rules, laws, and customs of wherever we are. Once everyone shares similar viewpoints and is able to follow laws, society will be stable, nations will be prosperous, and the world will become peaceful. It is also important to share benefits harmoniously. In our society, it is beneficial to not have a big difference between those who have and those who are have-nots. Harmoniously sharing wealth consequently settles all conflicts over wealth. Sharing benefits equally with others is an act of wisdom and a genuine cultivation of good fortune. The reason that people today do not have equal wealth comes from the different seeds that they have previously planted. If people did not plant the same seeds, how can they expect to harvest the same fruit? The Buddha perfectly understands the true reality and is able to thoroughly explain the law of cause and effect. He taught that those who harvest more should share with those who harvest less. This sharing becomes the seed that will benefit us later. According to the law of cause and effect, poor people need to cultivate more good fortune to harvest better results in the future. Also, the wealthy need to share their possessions in order to remain wealthy in the future. Only by doing so will the world finally become peaceful. Pure Land practitioners, as a foundation, cultivate the Confucian five virtues that are the foundation for all humanity. From here, we advance to the three conditions and the six principles of harmony that are the important basis before practicing Buddhism. Then, the three learnings are the foundation before practicing Mahayana Buddhism that includes the six paramitas. Finally, we practice the 10 great vows of universal worthy bodhisattva to attain Buddhahood. It is not that difficult to remember these five guidelines and combining them with chanting Ami-Tofo will assure the attainment of what people have always wanted, a harmonious family life, a successful career, a peaceful society. Now that we have a clearer understanding of what we are learning and sincerely want to follow the teachings and study with a good teacher, we need to diligently practice to work toward accomplishing our ideal goal in education. Therefore, we are here to pass on the true meaning of the Triple Jewels, that is, to return to and rely upon our Triple Jewels of self nature. In addition to the abstract form of the Triple Jewels of self-nature, there are the physical forms seen as Buddha's images, sutras, monks, and nuns. Making offerings to the Buddha's image serves two purposes. First, it honors our original teacher, Buddha Shakyamuni. Every time we look at his image, we remember the unsurpassed teachings that he passed on to us. Also, we need to remember his great kindness. In this way, we nurture our hearts of kindness and of honesty. Second, making offerings to the Buddha's image also reminds us to emulate the Buddha's. When we see their images, we remind ourselves to awaken, to no longer be deluded. Thus, we use a Buddha image to remind ourselves to return and rely on awakening. Sutras serve the same purpose by reminding us that we take refuge in the Dharma and need to maintain proper thoughts and understanding. Similarly, seeing a monk or a nun representing the Sangha can remind us of the importance of maintaining purity of mind and purity of the six senses, as well as harmony with others. Therefore, attending the physical forms of the Triple Jewels greatly benefits us because they constantly remind us of the path to awakening. Some practitioners attend to the jewels, the Triple Jewels, in their homes. The Buddha's image symbolizes the Buddha jewel, while the Bodhisattva's image represents the Sangha jewel. When we honor the three sages of the Western Pure Land, Buddha Amitabha symbolizes the Buddha jewel, Great Compassion Bodhisattva and Great Strength Bodhisattva symbolize the Sangha jewel, and the sutras symbolize the Dharma jewel. These three remind us of the treasures within our self nature. Of all the Buddhist sutras, the Infinite Life Sutra is our primary sutra. Although not too lengthy, the text completely encompasses all the Buddha's teachings and is thus well suited to modern practitioners. The full title of this sutra, The Buddha Speaks of the Infinite Life Sutra of Adornment, Purity, Equality, and Enlightenment of the Mahayana School, fully reveals the objectives, principles, and methods of cultivation in the Buddha's teachings. Infinite Life, in the sutra's title, embodies the most important of all infinities. For without infinite life, we could not enjoy the other infinities of wisdom, wealth, virtues, abilities, etc. The infinity of our natural potential is what Pure Land practitioners seek, and the virtue and abilities of our innate self nature are infinite. After Master Huineng attained enlightenment, he said, "Who would have expected that our innate nature is originally complete in itself. Who would have expected that innate nature can produce myriad things? Infinite Dharma originates from self-nature. Thus, the immeasurable, unbounded existences of the 10 Dharma realms are created by the self-nature. The word adornment in the sutra's title represents truth, goodness, beauty, and wisdom, qualities that are not a genuine reality in this world. They exist within the self-nature and will be found when we seek within. Purity, equality, and enlightenment also expresses the principles of cultivation. Purity represents the Sangha jewel. Equality represents the Dharma jewel. Enlightenment represents the Buddha jewel. These three are also equivalent to the three learnings and encompass the Buddha's 49 years of teachings. Purity stands for self-discipline and the precepts. Equality stands for deep concentration and the sutras. Enlightenment stands for wisdom and the commentaries. Purity, equality, and enlightenment represent the great Buddhist canon, the three learnings, as well as the triple jewels. Therefore, although the Infinite Life Sutra is not a long sutra, it contains all of the Buddha's teachings. Since most of us have busy lives and do not have time to study numerous sutras, we can start with the Infinite Life Sutra. By thoroughly understanding it, not only will we understand Buddha Shakyamuni's 49 years of teachings, but also the teachings of all the Buddhas, because none of these teachings surpass the Infinite Life Sutra, and all come from the self-nature. The sutra expresses all sutras. Practicing according to the teachings in this sutra will perfectly fulfill the requirements of taking refuge in the triple jewels. The following are two vows. The second vow is the initiation for taking the five precepts. The vow for taking the three refuges is extracted from the Book of Precepts by Master Hong Yi. We use this vow for commemoration, simplicity, and ease. It was the vow used by Buddha Shakyamuni when he passed on the three refuges to his students. Please remember, the original teacher is Buddha Shakyamuni. One does not take refuge in the monk or nun conducting the ceremony, but rather in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. thus becoming a student of the Triple Jewels. The vow for taking refuge in the Triple Jewels. Will the teacher be mindful of me and bear witness as I, the student, Miao Ying, beginning from today to the end of my life, return and rely upon the Buddha of supreme good fortune and wisdom. Return and rely upon the Dharma, for it is the unsurpassed teaching for being free from all desires and temptations. Return and rely upon the Sangha, for by its practice of the six principles of harmony, it is the most deserving of respect of all communities. The vow for initiation, for taking the five precepts. Will the teacher be mindful of me, as of all sages and arhats, who would not kill, not steal, not commit sexual misconduct, not lie, not consume intoxicants to the end of their lives, that I, the student Miao Ying, from today until the end of my life, will not kill, not steal, not commit sexual misconduct, not lie, not consume intoxicants. Now, I begin my learning that is also the learning for all sages and arhats. At all times, I will follow, uphold, and practice these precepts. Amitabha. Homage to Buddha Amitabha.